Welcome to Brothers in Balance, straight talk for men who know strength, health, and wealth start in the mind. No fluff, no cliches, just real conversations about mental health, resilience, and what it takes to stay sharp in a world that never quits attempting to dull us. The opinions here are ours alone. Take them or leave them. But don't blame us if your life improves. Let's get to it. Hello out there. We are back with another episode, a long overdue episode of our Brothers in Balance podcast. I'm Mike Frazier. I'm here with the one and only Russell Sable, and we are ready, Freddy. Sorry we've been away for a while, but we've had a pretty wild and woolly 2024, haven't we, brother?
It has been absolutely insane, but for once, we are all glad to finally been back. Sorry about everyone that's out there that's been asking, when the hell are we coming back?
Yeah, I know.
Well, we're finally back.
We're back. It is good to see you.
Yeah.
We've both been, I don't think it's been off the charts this year.
I don't think you've aged a bit.
I haven't. Neither have you.
I try not to.
You look very nice. Your beard is well-groomed.
Yeah, I try my best. Yeah. It's the only thing I take pride in these days.
I actually wore something besides a t-shirt today. I'm trying to up my game.
Yeah, you look good.
Yeah, thanks, brother.
Well, I showed up here like a hobo that just stepped out of the gym. Although I haven't been in the gym in years.
I don't even want to talk about that right now. I haven't hit anything this year except my head to a pillow when I get out of here.
Or a wall.
Or a wall, yeah. Plenty of those this year.
Yep.
It's been nuts, but I'm glad that we're doing this again. We've both experienced a lot of very weird and odd and very, I don't know about you, but I'm depleted. I'm worn out this year. I'm just worn out. I'm frazzled, brother, because just dealing with a lot of nonsense and a lot of very negative situations this year that I've had to deal with. You're keenly aware of them. You know, some business related, some personal. And I think the thing that, you know, I was talking to Star the other night about it, and just, I think keeping your, for lack of better terms, keeping your shit together right now is like an art. Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't had time to flake out or flip out or go depressed. I don't believe in anxiety. I don't believe in depression. I don't believe in any of those things because I don't have time for them, I think. That's the way my mind works. How about you?
Maybe you just don't feel it.
Well, that's scary. then it might want to creep up on me and find me at some point.
Yeah,
well, and you may be right.
It might be just maybe you keep talking it down, or
I don't know.
You just have other problems to worry about.
Could be.
Or other issues that are more important.
Yeah, I think that when you put it in the grander scheme of things, you know, I do have more important issues. Yeah. And then also, Star will ask me all the time, who are you talking to? To myself. Mm-hmm. I talk to myself all the time. It's not uncommon, pardon me, for her to walk by and, who are you talking to? Myself. Well, I heard you say, well, that shit ain't going to happen.
I just don't talk back.
Yeah. But I do. I think it, and then I'll answer the thought. I'll answer the thought, actually. I'm serious as a heart attack. It's been about 2 weeks ago, she walked by and she said, "What? Who are you talking to?" I said, myself. And she said, well, I heard you say, well, that shit's not going to happen. No, I will have a thought, and that's my process. I state it. I state it to the universe, I guess. No, that shit's not going to happen that way. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do this. My favorite term nowadays, or my favorite words nowadays, is I refuse to participate in that, you know, because I just don't have time for nonsense and all of the other things. And I don't feel that anything's being pent up. I don't feel bad. I feel tired most of the time. Mm-hmm. It's been a very tiring year.
Yes, I agree 100% on that. Holy cow. It's been... Can't seem to just take a break for more than 5 minutes, it seems like.
Yeah. Yeah. And you and I have two totally different types of jobs. Yours is extremely physical and mental at the same time. Mine is about 100% mental. And both wear you out in one way or another. And then this year, you know, I've not only had to deal with a lot of other issues in business, like I said, we've discussed, but then I've had a year of just, I've had people that I thought were very close to me who really used the friendship to detriment to me. It was a detriment to me. They became extremely needy. One good friend, zero coping skills, very mummified, not mummified, mummified or mommified, and just really started taking up way too much of my mental resources, like on a daily basis. And I finally had to say, I'm not in the mood to raise another kid. You know what I mean? I feel like I'm dealing with a child. I'm dealing with a lot of problems right now. And that's a tough place to be in, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's not a friendship like you, or wasn't a friendship like you and I have, to where, you know, we don't see each other. It's not unusual for you and I not to see each other that often. And then sometimes we'll see each other quite a bit. You know, we'll go through periods of time. But then life comes along and things start happening. And we're okay that we're not hearing with one another or hearing from one another, but we still check in on each other with our, you okay, bro?
Yep. Yep.
And I appreciate that. And then, you know, we kind of dump sometimes. You know, like, I'll tell you, or, you know, I think that's important to have those type of people in your life to allow you the space and freedom to handle your own shit, get your own shit out of the way, and you're not constantly trying to fix their problems as well. You agree with that? I mean,
yeah. I mean, I got two best friends like that, and one I hear from more than the other.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. But they both are married. They both have kids. One of them actually just had a kid, their first kid, and they are beyond excited about it. But at the same time, for him, he's like, well, now he's like, I got to get to work. I got to start working on finances and doing, you know, being a dad all of a sudden.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I guess he's somewhat prepared himself because they had a dog, or they have a dog. And so to me, it's like when you have a dog, you're somewhat training in order to get ready for a kid, you know, feed it and let it out of goose bathroom and all these other, you know, I've had a dog and I'm over here, you know, this is like my only child.
Yeah.
But, and it, I mean, it's the same as you were saying. I mean, both of them, we hear from each other nonstop. I mean, I hear from one more than the other. And one is a lot closer than the other. One's all the way up in bum ass Canada.
Mm. Well, that is way up.
But he's with his or her family, and he's enjoying life. But at the same time, it's tough to get both of them to, you know, talk to both of them. And I haven't seen either one of them in a while. The one that's usually closer, he just had his first girl, so he's all up in arms right now on how to deal with all that. Two females.
Oh gosh.
And, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, and not only that, but he's got two little pups that he's dealing with too. So,
and I guarantee the pups are easier than the kid.
Yeah, he's got a lot on his plate, but he's making it through. But you know, trying to talk to them, and then here I am just over here just enjoying life, not married or anything.
Yeah, look at you, look at you, living the life.
But you know, I sit back and I go, you know, at the same time I sit there and go, you know, I kind of feel left out a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, because it's like my two best friends are already married, and another good best friend of mine is a Black Hawk pilot, and he's now over in Korea.
Oh wow!
With his first kid, and it's just like, man, I'm over here just doing my own thing, I guess. But it makes me sit back and go, I could be in a lot worse place.
Yeah, yeah, and you and everyone has their own path, man.
Yeah,
you know, everyone, you know, but you know, I mean, I've been married the better part, well, the most part of my adult life. Do I miss being single? I might have missed being single if it were still the 90s or the early double noughts, but I wouldn't want to be single nowadays for no amount of money in the world.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of different attitudes and personalities and behaviors out there that I just don't think I could deal with. A lot of selfishness, a lot of self-centeredness, a lot of behavioral stuff that just is off the charts to me.
A lot of needy now as well.
Well, that's what really I ran needy. Into with the friend I had that, you know who I'm talking about. I'm not naming names, but it became so needy. It became oppressive. I had to remind him constantly that I am married. And I also, on top of that, I own a company. I have a wife that has been fairly ill. And so I have very deep responsibilities. And I take those seriously. And then to have to try to explain that to some knothead who's not listening, evidently. And that was where my frustration came out. Because I believe that if you're friends, you're friends. And friends understand when you don't have time to be mm-hmm. a chum mm-hmm. or get along pal, and you've got to go handle something or you've got to go deal with something. And that became extreme. It was overwhelming to me, and I just couldn't deal with it. I'm just not built that way.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing as I continue to tell myself. I was like, look, they're all grown up.
Yeah.
Family and all that stuff, and I know I'll get there one day, and to me, I keep telling us, you know, I don't want to compare myself to anybody else.
No.
I have my own path, my own place
that's right.
to be, and do my own thing.
You're your own man.
That's right, and, you know, I just continue to sit back and support those boys.
Well, that's 100%. Extremely mature, man, and I mean, because a lot of people can't do that. There's a lot of psychological immaturity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I train and teach on it all the time. It's an undercurrent. Psychological immaturity and infantilization or the infantilized mindset is an undercurrent that is pulsing through and running through everything right now, through work, through personal lives, through relationships, every type of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of sad to watch people who are psychologically immature and how they cannot cope and how they wind up destroying very good relationships in the process.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
That's tough to watch. And I think, you know, Star and I talk about it all the time. We joke around every time there's one of those commercials comes on for, you know, like, I don't know, Bucket of Fish or Plenty of Fish or whatever the hell it's called. All these little dating sites and stuff.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I'll joke around and she'll actually say, oh, so she'll repeat the website and I'll say, hand me my phone. You know? And it's just a joke. And then we start comparing comparing why each of us feel that neither of us would want to date in this environment that's going on right now for no amount of money in the world, man.
Yeah, I mean, I feel 100% really, really bad for my sister because she got a taste of the dating world. She never dated for a very long time. She was doing her own thing.
Yeah.
That's all she ever wanted to do. And she got a taste for it a few years ago, and now it's just, I look at her and she's like, what the fuck is the point? She's at that point, but now it's even further worse because now her friends are starting to deal with some of these other issues and their relationships, and some of them are just saying hell with it and leaving. And
yeah,
I'm just like, I look back and I go, I don't know. I really don't know what it is with the younger generation and just some other people where they just can't seem to maybe figure it out or get it together. Or
I think you hit on something, the neediness sometimes, that people expect you to help them become something they should have already become before they ever wanted to take on a relationship with someone else.
Yeah.
You can't expect people to cure you or fix you. It's not their job. I've always believed that, you know, you're supposed to come together and make each other better for it. And that's really tough nowadays, I think, because a lot of young people especially, they just don't have that, the mental faculties or that the maturity, psychological maturity, to get out there and be with someone and not either be needy or turn it into a fix me type situation or my way or the highway situation. It's a too much of a, it's, you know, I scratch your back, you scratch mine. It's a 50-50 thing.
Correct.
And mm-hmm. I think a lot of people struggle with that, mm-hmm. you know, and I believe that, you know, until you love yourself, you can never expect anyone else to love you, you know, and I think too many people are seeking validation and they want someone else to make them feel good all the time.
Yeah.
Or to buoy them or to lift them up. And that's just not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be supportive of course, mm-hmm. to a spouse or a mate or a partner, but you're not supposed to damn carry them all the time. And, I know a couple of other people, guys, I know that they are in relationships that, you know, they're, let's just put it this way, their mental needs are certainly not taken care of because they're too busy trying to keep the other person, the other half, from losing their shit daily, mm-hmm. or falling back into a pit or falling apart or fix their mommy or daddy issues. Yeah, it's spooky out there right now.
Yeah.
And then you look at how all of this nonsense that goes on, especially at the collegiate level, and then these young kids are not prepared, and they hit the doorstep of business, and they're not prepared at all mentally. They believe that business runs like a college or social media, mm-hmm. and it doesn't.
Well, a part of this I like to sit back and say I honestly blame social media for a lot of it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, especially with TikTok. I am not a big fan of TikTok whatsoever. I don't even own the app.
Yeah.
I don't. And everybody goes, why not? Why not? Well, I mean, yeah, you get to look. You get to sit there and watch some do-it-yourself, some DIY stuff, you know, whatever mm-hmm. it comes to, like, building homes or fixing whatever, walls or whatever.
Right.
But a lot of it, from what I see, is attention. That's all I ever see.
Attention seeking.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like, no, that's not what I want to watch. I don't really care for TikTok or really watching anyone that is wanting attention.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you make money off of it or whatever. And, you know, there's some people that go out there and do some cooking stuff so you can learn some new recipes or, like I said, some do-it-yourself stuff.
Right.
And that's fine, but at the end of the day, most of it is more of attention seeking.
Right. And yeah. It's I don't know. I don't like it either. I think it speaks volumes about the individual.
Yeah.
Now I know there are some people out there that they have that, you know, they turn it on, turn it off. They've got a online personality, and I know people like this. And then you meet them up close and personal. They're not the same person. It's an act, and they might have a channel or somewhere, either it be YouTube or TikTok or hell, maybe even Facebook, and they're doing pretty well off of that. Mm-hmm. People are actually throwing money at them to look like an idiot or act like an idiot.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of an idiot,
this is a great segue.
Yeah, did you happen to watch the Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight?
Yeah, I did.
That was disappointing.
It was very disappointing after watching both of them in their training videos.
Yes.
Getting ready for it and then getting to the fight. It was not.
No.
It was nothing I was expecting. I mean, they both said, oh, we're going to, you know, one of us is going to get KO. There's going to be bloodshed. There's going to be this and that. And it was just running around.
Yeah, it was right.
I mean, it was just I felt like I was watching two kids in a play ball pen.
Yeah, and, you know, I wouldn't even consider it a good sparring match. You know, if that was your sparring partner, you would have fired and gotten another candidate or someone in there to match leather with you. But, yeah, I watched that, and I was like, same here. All the run-up to it, all the lip service and the what they're going to do, and watching both of them train, especially Tyson.
Yeah.
He's a beast.
Yeah, especially for how old he is.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I was just like, I was so disappointed.
I was extremely disappointed because I wanted Tyson to knock that Jake Paul fella out. you know, old school versus uncool, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, it was very disappointing. But yeah, that was idiotic. And I'm like, $10 million. I think Tyson got 10 mil to just, I don't know, just kind of feign hitting him. Maybe, you know, after that first round, it just turned into a, like a dance recital.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I'm like, nah.
Well, I was not a fan of it. I almost wanted to turn off the TV, but
I kept waiting. You know, it's like watching a bad movie. You ever watch, started watching a movie and you, the hype on it is maybe pretty good, and you're watching that movie and you keep saying, "Well, it's got to get better. It's got to get better." And you're waiting for that pivotal or that pivot point in it where everything just goes into groovy. Like, you know, cars start blowing up, naked people running you know, all over the place, you know, on hairs on fire, whatever. But you're expecting those moments and it never happens. That's why I watched that fight all the way through and I was angry at myself. I'm like, damn it. I kept waiting for that moment, but it never came.
Yeah.
Just when you said idiot, I thought of that. But
that's all right. You know, going back to, you know, friendships and all that stuff, there was a point in time when, what the hell is that that week called? Ash Wednesday.
Yeah.
There's a whole point in time period where you have to give up something. And that whole, it's basically a month and a half or so, and I gave up drinking altogether. I was like, we're going to go a whole month and a half, no alcohol whatsoever.
How was that?
It was a very interesting journey. The first few days or week or so was a little bit of an eerie week.
Yeah.
Because I do like to go and have a glass of bourbon or a few beers or something.
Right.
But, you know, I got over that. But it was really interesting to see as I progressed through that journey of I learned exactly of who are my supporters were and who were my true friends at that point in time.
Who your true friends were versus who were your drinking buddies?
Similar to that.
Yeah.
Or just people that were like, yeah, you didn't give up drinking kind of thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. That's amazing.
It was very it was an interesting journey.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, it was.
Wow.
But going through that whole, you know, I dropped maybe, I don't know, 10, 15 pounds, only turn around and gain it right back because of all the food.
Yeah, I'm sitting here snacking on what your mom was making right now.
Yeah.
That you brung me. So it's
Chex Mix, assorted Chex Mix, and assorted cookies.
Oh my gosh, and they're ridiculously, every bit of it's just wrong.
It's ridiculous. I know, great. But it's the favorite part,
woo!
It's the favorite time of the year for me is Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Oh yeah, me too.
The house always smells like cookies.
Yeah. We're going to go up and see Mom and Dad next week for Thanksgiving.
We're doing the same thing.
Are you really?
Yep.
That's great. That's great. We're going to go up and see them and I'm really looking forward to it. We haven't even been up there all year long. This has been a whirlwind of a year for me. No vacation, no anything, just nose to the grindstone, hustle again. And I don't mind doing those things, actually. I kind of like the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of those types that, you know, that really enjoys the challenge of it all. But then at some point you say, hey, God, kind of chill on the challenges right now, will you? You know, because I've had enough for this year, and that's kind of where I'm at. And I think that it not being able to express myself, and I think this is a good forum to do it in, but who are you going to tell sometimes? I've got you, of course, and I've got one other, I'd say Mike Martin, who's a good friend of ours, I can talk to. I don't want to really bleed out to the wife because she has her own issues, and I have to remain supportive of her. Hers are health-related, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But, it gets tough. And like you say there, where you were going through that period where you stopped drinking, I mean, that's – and you learned a lot not only about yourself – but about the people that were around you, how supportive they were, or how they maybe, I guess, believed in you as a human, you know, your power, your strength, or who you were.
Yeah.
Very telling, I guess, Tell me more about that. That's really
cool. It was kind of odd because there's days where you get really stressed out, and some of those days, it's actually pretty funny. That whole month and a half, I became addicted to decaf coffee.
No, really?
So instead of drinking, I was drinking decaf coffee, I guess, to kind of replace it. But
yeah,
it's dealing with those struggles, but at the same time, when you're dealing with stress or anxiety or whatever, everyone's got something.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was one of those things of, well, what can I do to relieve these issues? And my thing was just to chill outside. I adore being outdoors, and there's a lot of people out there that don't.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But for me, it's one of those things. I mean, being outside, being outdoors is my own thing, and that was my stress reliever, just chilling outside with my dog and drinking some decaf coffee.
You know, it's funny you bring up outside, because this is the time of year I love.
Yeah.
I love it. Summertime, not so much down here where we are in Augusta. It's just too damn hot for me sometimes, and so it's not uncommon for me to, this is the time of year, you know, not uncommon, pardon me, to kind of skip the golf dates and that type of thing, because I just don't feel like being, you know, sweating my ass off and being covered in gnats and
all that. It's been tough because we just got through with Hurricane Helene going through.
Yeah, yeah. And got out to play golf, I guess, two or three weeks ago for the first time, and just enjoyed it. Played the best golf I've played in years. I have no idea what was. Didn't even go to a driving range. Didn't do anything. Just stepped up to the first tee and played great golf. Had a few mishits here and there, but I think it was because my mind was just totally off of what I was doing. I was so ready, I guess, also to relax. I love this time of year. You know, yours is decaf coffee. You know, I this time of year, especially, is cigars. We both love cigars. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been able to spend a little bit more time, you know, just sitting around outside now smoking a cigar. And, you know, I lost my lab, Pepper, this time last year, or about August of last year, I guess. And I just got a new black lab puppy this year. She's Pepper 2.0, and that's been really good for me because I miss that camaraderie with my dog. And we have dogs. It's not like we only have one dog. Mm-hmm. But Pepper, the original Pepper, and then Pepper 2.0 both share the same characteristic. They love to hang around their dad. And I go check the mail. There she is. I walk around, and I talk to these my dogs like I would talk to my kids, you know, like children and adults even. And I've missed that. I think that was a major part missing because I didn't have that, you know, she'd jump up in the truck with me. We'd boogie off somewhere to do something. That's a huge part of my life as well. And it got sucked out. And so this year, up until we got her, I wasn't experiencing that. And it's funny to, you know, maybe some people might find that odd. True dog lovers won't. That a dog is a massive part of a man's, to me, of a man's mental health.
It's a man's best friend.
Yeah, buddy. Man. Yeah.
It's the hardest thing we can ever give up.
Oh, yeah. And when I lost Pepper last year, it was devastating. I mean, it was rough, man, because that dog was like everywhere I was, that dog was. Mm-hmm. And now I've got that same thing back. She's still a puppy, and she's acting like a big doofus and running around and doing things puppies do. But I see that, I see all that nature and all that intelligence and all that, you know, that you share, that bond, all that's returning. And I think that's massive.
Yeah.
So when you were talking about spending time with your dog, yeah, that's me. This time of year, being outside, even if it's no more than going for a walk, hanging out, chilling out, doing whatever, cooking, got to get the deck fixed now from the hurricane, but one side of it's popped up in the air, and then we can get the grill in again and stuff. My grill got tore up, all that good stuff. So I think all in all, for me, it's not only having friendships that matter and people that aren't too damn demanding, you know, or want too much of you. And I know that's tough, because when you, I guess when you're in need or when you're suffering, some people handle suffering differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some will handle it on their own, which, you know, isn't advisable, but if you can, you know, that whatever works for you. Some have great friends like you and I do, to where we can vent, talk, have a conversation. And then we're also secure enough in our relationships. I am. And not only with our friend, mine and your friendship and other friendships, to where you don't have to talk to each other daily, like you're dating, you know, or a bad girlfriend. You don't have to deal with them every single day.
Mm-hmm.
I think all of those things are extremely powerful and good for us.
Yeah.
But I'm glad we're doing this again, because I think not only people have been asking you, but they've been asking me as well.
Mm-hmm.
I know. We got to put 2024 to bed.
We do.
Go night-night and get out of this thing.
It was funny, too, because we thought it was going to be a good year. That was shot down pretty damn quick, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was. It's been a hell of a year, brother. I'm not going to lie to you. It's been extremely trying. It's been, for lack of better terms, it's been a pain in the ass.
Yep.
The crap I've had to deal with this year. I guess I'm very lucky that I can cope. Part of my coping mechanism is writing, creating, doing things. That's how I find a lot of joy. But when you're dealing, when every day, just about every week, you're dealing with there's something else stupid going on, which I've dealt with this year, and you can't escape it. You know, my life outside of business is, I'm happy. Happy man.
Mm-hmm.
Business has been about to drive me nuts this year. So, and all the things associated with it and all the weird stuff I've had to deal with. I think, and I hate to put it this way, and maybe people, no, I don't hate to, but there's probably going to be people out there that may listen in on this and disagree with me, but I was so happy to see Trump reelected. Let's get back to some common sense, man.
Mm-hmm.
My gosh, what was, you know, I think these past 4 years, and even longer than that, actually, if you want to know the truth, has been a failed social experiment. It's some of the stupidest crap I've ever heard of and never want to see again.
Mm-hmm.
The crap and just bullshit that you have to listen to, watch, deal with. It's insane.
Yeah,
I think even before the election, I said, man, we've got to be at a tipping point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I was glad to see him get reelected, just from the standpoint of we need some, you know, we've been almost irrational for so long. You know, the economy, even though they were pumping it up and claiming, no, you could see it was not good. Any idiot that has to go buy, any idiot can look and see, and if you can't see, you are an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Go buy groceries. Try to hire someone decent anymore.
Yep.
Try to keep your business running. Try to keep government out of your back pocket. Try to do the right thing and it matter anymore. And all of those things started changing big time. And we were spending too much time worried about a bunch of shit that didn't mean a hill of beans. And I was so ready just to get away from all that.
Yeah. I think this year is going to be a good year. And
yeah,
I think everything is looking up from way it seems like nowadays. It looks like everybody's starting to change.
Yeah.
The world, it seems like, is changing already.
Yeah.
So I think we're in for a good next few years, or even hopefully just at least a good year.
I think we are. I think we are. And I'm looking forward to it. And I'm glad that we're able to do this again. We have the resources to do it. But I think a lot of people out there through this year, and especially, you know, if you're local and you've had issues or you've been dealing with a lot of stress or anxiety or depression or anything else, and then a hurricane came along and you know, the tornadoes off of that and everything else, you know, we got smacked
mm-hmm.
at the house, and that was tough. And then the business got impacted because no power, no internet.
Yep, everybody was impacted. No Wi-Fi for weeks, and no power for weeks at the same time.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't think I can't think anyone more than George Power and all the other boys that came down to get all of our power back up, because I know there's people that are up in North Carolina that are still hoping for all that to come back. And
well, that's just shameful.
I think we – did we walk away from this one stronger than ever? Yes.
I think
I think we did, and there's still people that are out there that are struggling to this day and still hoping to get things and fixed and trees removed off their houses or as their deck get their decks fixed. So
yeah, well, you know, we're better off than most. I mean, you know, we got hit pretty hard, but the newer houses in our neighborhood that they're, I mean, one was damn near destroyed. You know, others where trees are in their living room or in their den, and yeah, we came out of that one pretty good actually. I can't complain because I've seen what's going on around here, but yeah, I believe it does. It does make you stronger. But imagine people that. You had a lot going on, and I also, you know, I know how it impacted us with business, and that's why I'm have been trying for years to get us out of this internet where everything was online. You know, have some backups and keep them elsewhere, and you know, some even some written records, do whatever. I'd go ask, well, where is this? Oh, it's on Dropbox. Well, guess what happened when we didn't have internet? No one could access anything.
Yep.
And so I think going back not only to an old school way of doing business in some ways, of course, keeping redundant backups and, you know, keeping records and doing it like the old school way I used to and writing everything down. And I still do that. It'll be in a computer, but I still keep it written. I think you can even look at that in your own life. Have we bought in too far into all of this nonsense that's been going on? And it in itself has created a lot of mental health issues and depression when we don't have to be involved in all these things. We don't have to let these things bother us. We don't have to worry like we do.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm saying that perfectly, but that's just how I feel.
Yeah. Well, it was also really nice to see the community itself come together.
Oh, yeah.
That whole time. I mean, as soon as I woke up, there was a tree down on my left, tree down in front of us. Tree down on the right, all the way up the street. I mean, we had no way of getting out, but it was amazing that people were just coming around chainsaws, clearing roads up immediately, doing what they can. I mean, there was, I mean, you got to the point where it was just like hell with waiting on everybody else. Let's get together. Let's work together. As
neighbors being good neighbors.
And I think that's when there was a point in time. I think that's when we all learned, okay, we have good neighbors.
That's right.
Everybody came in together for once.
Yeah.
Even if you hated each other, you had past issues, you know, whatever. I mean, it was...
They become non-important, don't they? I mean, it just doesn't... It's unimportant at that point.
I mean, it was nice to see neighbors turn around and go, you know what, are you guys okay? Do you guys need water? Do you need food?
You were asking me that.
Yeah.
Did we need anything? And I appreciated that so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy during that period of time to focus so much on your own immediate needs, and that's what kind of friend you are. You were checking on us to make certain that we were all right and did we need anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that was impressive to me. I mean, I remember how much that meant to me, and I think I told you as well. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm your buddy, so.
Well, yeah, whether you like it or not, yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, this has been fantastic. If anyone listens to this, and I hope it's just two friends talking, and we'll be back with more and more.
Yes, indeed we will.
More strategic stuff and how to do this and how not to do that, or at least sharing our own experiences. And, of course, we'll have guests and do other things this next year.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope anyone out there listening understands how much we do care about your mental health and your well-being, and I hope that you have a holiday season that is just wonderful. That you are able to spend that time with family and loved ones and friends, and you yourself, if you need it, heal or are able to take that healing to someone else.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. There's always something that's out there, a coping mechanism. Everybody has it around. Sometimes you just got to figure it out. But from here, Brothers in Balance, from Mike Frazier and I, Russell Sable, good night, everybody.
Good night.